Blast off.
Very cool.
Nice.
Everybody, welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian Wimpen and William Tincup. Just bringing the educational, fun HR radio today. We have an amazing guest. I think first time on the show. Hopefully she will gracefully correct me and not just put me in my place about that. But I think first time. And William, first of all, how are you today?
Extra snarky today. Mm-hmm. Side of crispy bacon, and I have a post up over at TONT.
Best ever, so. Dude. Best like ever. That. I read it. I don't read anything you write, but I read that.
Appreciate
one.
That.
That was good.
Well, if you, it's the first time I've posted over there. So if you, if the audience gets a moment, go and take a look at that. But other than that, I'm extra snarky today. So there you go.
Good. That was actually when I voted. You know, this year for the Academy, that was one of the ones I voted on. So weird that you would do actually a review of it. So you need to get over there, people. You need to read it. It's good. You need to watch the movie. Go to church afterwards. That's all I'm saying, but it's good. I loved it. So anyway, there was a time, like I said, me, you, Matt Stolick, we were out at this club, and he started talking about writing an article about taping a cheetah. About, I don't know what it was. Anyway, check out Matt Stolick and an article he wrote about taping a cheetah to your back, and just deal with that. Read William's review of the movie, and it will be a huge Friday, people. I'm telling you. Our guest, I'd love to introduce, Tara Fournier. How are you today?
Good morning, good afternoon. I am fantastic today. I'm not extra snarky, which is a good thing, and it is my first time on the show. So thank you so much for having me today.
Sweet. Well, and that is this will be a good balance show. We'll get you extra snarky by the end of the show. That'll be the goal. How about that? And
well,
you're
okay.
Super nice. So it's kind of a challenge, but we'll get you there. We're overachievers.
Perfect. Most HR people are. It's all good.
Hey, good point. So if you would, first time on the show, introduce yourself to all our lovely listeners, and then we'll jump into kind of what's top of mind with you.
Perfect. All right. Well, you know my name is Tara Fournier. I actually work for the Society for Human Resource Management. I am the manager of member engagement there, which is a long-winded way of saying that I handle student programs and young professional initiatives for our organization on a national basis. So I'm here, there, and everywhere, traveling the country, sending out the good messages, and meeting the good people of HR everywhere.
Fantastic. What is what's top of mind for you these days as you travel the planet talking to the youngins? What is top of mind for you?
Well, top of mind for me is really taking a look at what is in the mind of a young professional and what is in the mind specifically of a young HR professional. I do get the opportunity to see as students them growing and grooming themselves for this HR career and wanting to engage and connect with other HR professionals, and they do seem to have a little bit of trouble making those traditional connections. So what's been keeping me up at night is how we can engage this young, energetic group and bring them into the HR fold and utilize their talents to drive the change that we're all looking to do as thought leaders in the profession. That is what's keeping me up at night.
What do you think the biggest misconception or misexpectation is of, you know, one that's coming straight out of college, or maybe they're even their, you know, first career move to the profession itself? What do you think the big miss is?
I think the big misconception is that the students are coming out into the HR world unprepared for the positions that they're coming into. I know traditionally, and as for my own career, I quote, fell into HR. I was on a different career path and came into HR with very little educational background. I really learned on the job as I as I went, and these students are coming out with, you know, an extremely large wealth of knowledge that they're learning from, you know, their classes, from their SHRM experiences, and all those things. So they're really ready to come in, and they're very motivated to be a part of the workforce. It's definitely something that is a misconception. They're not lazy and all those things that the traditional, stereotypical young people have. They're very ready to go and eager.
Do you think that academia or school prepares them for a life in HR?
Well, I think that school prepares them for what they need to know in HR, but I do think that there's definitely value in hands-on HR experience. What I've been finding is, as I've been programming student conferences and asking the students what they are interested in hearing, they say, you know, the content, the FNLA, the basics of HR, we're getting that, but what is it really like? And, you know, as any HR professional knows, from day to day, you don't know what you're going to get. You may walk in and have an investigation to do because there was an employee behavioral issue, or you may have something, an audit happening, and you don't know what to do with that. So I think, you know, they're prepared in the sense that they do have the knowledge, but there is, you know, still a little bit of green to them when it comes to those spontaneous, fun moments in HR.
If you had to pick internships, i.e. kind of a work experience, quote-unquote, while in school, or GPA, like if you could somehow graduate with a 4.0 or a 3.8 or whatever, or you could transfer that to 3 or 4 internships while in college, for a career in HR, which do you think would be the better path?
Well, I would never tell a student not to achieve the highest grades possible, but there is a lot of value in internships. And, you know, for myself personally, I had done 2 internships when I was in school, and that is actually what got me on my career path. And so when I speak with the students, I emphasize that over and over again. You know, don't just do 1 internship. Do 2, do 3. Get as much experience as you can, because then you are a well-rounded person. And you have both a practical knowledge of HR, but you also are getting that hands-on look at the daily life in HR. And the great thing is if any of our SHRM student members are out there, they actually do get a free membership with internships.com as part of their SHRM membership, so they can go ahead and speak and look for internships that way.
Tara, this is Brian. So what are some suggestions, just to kind of change to a little different subject here, what are some suggestions to get the, you know, young HR professionals more involved on volunteerism? Right, that's a big challenge. That's a big challenge that I know my chapter has, the state, mm-hmm. you know, the state level has. I mean, it's just constant. We're trying to find and connect with folks, and it's just we don't have an answer at all.
This is a problem that I see or I hear about in many different areas, many different chapters. So don't worry, you're not alone. And really, as far as volunteerism, the generation, the millennial generation in and of themselves, they're very oriented in helping others. They want to be good corporate citizens. They want to volunteer. They want to give back to their community. However, the challenge seems to be is when they can do that. So traditional chapters or traditional associations maybe have breakfast meetings, lunch meetings, things like that. It's very structured and traditional. So young professionals are more, I guess, for lack of a better word, as Curtis Midkiff always says, is organic. They're very organic. They like things to happen spontaneously. They like to, you know, go for a happy hour and mingle and network and things like that. So I think having more of those opportunities will help get them engaged. But as far as the volunteerism, it's just making sure they're aware of the opportunities that are available to them and really showing them that there are things that they can do that is of interest to them in the chapter. Another thing that I've noticed with the young professionals, at least in the studying that I've done in this group, is that they are very untraditional in the fact that if they're going to meet people, they'll go online, and in 5 seconds they can go onto LinkedIn or a meetup group and say, I want to meet people that are in HR that are young. So they do that outside of, you know, traditional associations. So making sure that they understand the value of good old-fashioned networking and really becoming part of a community would be really helpful for them.
Do you feel that that it really is necessary to have, like, on the board, kind of at a chapter level representation, where you have the person that owns the young professional strategy? Do you call it out that distinctly?
I do feel that way, and internally we are working on making some recommendations and putting together a toolkit for chapters and for states to take on a look at that and see if they can format that into their chapter structure. There are a few states out there that do have a young professional or a YP position on their state council, and a few others are using their college relations liaison to help with young professional initiatives as well, but it definitely does make a difference to have someone dedicated to understanding this group and incorporating them into the activities within the chapter.
Well, and I do see some, and then really glad to hear that, because I know I just am running through kind of our, we have a, Tulsa's a mega chapter, and I've been involved for a long time, and it's a pretty traditional chapter, and we did a lot with the web presence, and we've did quite a bit with kind of the social media side, but we haven't, you know, what's interesting is that we have a lot of amazing young professionals in HR. I mean, just really, truly talented, brilliant folks that want to get involved, but I'm sure it's kind of just doesn't feel quite right, you know, because it's very traditional, it's very structured, and I just had wrote down a few different things that we're not doing that I can suggest just to the board to think about. So thank you for the suggestions.
Definitely.
So what's cool is there's some models out there for people that are listening that I think are interesting, like the chambers of commerce have had the same struggle, right? It's very traditional, it's very structured, it's kind of old guard, and they're trying to get involved with young professional, you know, just YPO type movement, and have struggled. And so there's a handful, and we have a pretty large, fairly successful young professionals organization in Tulsa that, I mean, it's like 5,000 people, that it's one of those models that is good to look at. So looking at your chamber to see if maybe they're doing some things that would be interesting is if you're a volunteer leader on a board or you're on a state council, for SHRM, that's one that I tend to look at to see if they're doing anything innovative. And on occasion, the chambers are, and ours happen to be. So that's one that we probably need to look at. So
definitely. And really, when you think about this group, it's really important to engage them now, because the statistics are showing that, you know, by next year, 36% of the workforce will be comprised of this millennial generation. And by 2020, it'll be half of all U.S. workers are going to be in this group. So when you look at it from a work perspective, succession planning is of the essence. But even in your chapter structure, as, you know, your chapter members are starting to think about retirement and, you know, moving on to another part of their career and their life, it's really going to be important to make sure that what you're doing in your chapter is engaging this group, because this is really going to be a large portion of your chapter in the future.
Tara, how do you help kind of young professionals navigate the murky waters of becoming either a generalist or a specialist? You know, when you're popped right out into your career, some of the struggle is kind of where you fit. Do you start in payroll? Do you start, you know, in diversity? Do you start as just an HR coordinator, manager, et cetera? And it's always kind of an abstraction versus realism argument. But how do you help them navigate that generalist versus specialist role?
From SHRM's perspective, we have all the tools available online as far as, you know, navigating what different job descriptions are and things like that. But really, it's networking and getting the young professionals to connect and talk to each other. We do have a group on LinkedIn, Facebook, SHRM Connect, that we encourage the young professionals to get on and interact with each other if they have, you know, questions or they're trying to navigate some situation or position that they can go on and connect with one another. I also have a young professional advisory committee that is comprised of 15 people across the country, and they actually are working on putting together some social media and some new improvements to the SHRM website so that we can address those things and really create a conversation and a landing place for these young professionals to come and connect and have these kind of discussions, and we can provide them that forum.
Let's talk a little bit about SHRM Annual, and we don't have to talk specifics, but in general, what's the experience that you want to create for a young professional. Maybe this is their first SHRM annual. Maybe this is their first HR conference. You know, what's that experience that you want to kind of facilitate to the entire conference experience?
Well, really, we start at the student level because we have a separate student conference that that happens the day before annual conference, where we have 500 students from across the country coming. So we started off there, and a lot of them are adult learners, so they're young professionals anyhow. So we start them off on Saturday afternoon, and we do a networking reception. But really, the vibe is really getting them connected. We will have the Hive, Curtis, Midkiff, and team will be running that, and we're encouraging the young professionals to stop in there. Curtis and I are also working on a really great event. We had one last year that was a tweet-up, and we had over 700 people show up to that for young professionals. So it's really just giving them a chance to meet and understand each other. We also are going to be having some recommended tracks, educational tracks. So based on the sessions that are already going to be scheduled, we'll make some recommendations based on what we feel would be an ideal course for a young professional to take to help them shape up their career. And we also want them to have fun. We want them to see that HR is, you know, not just sitting behind the desk, but we actually let loose and have a great time. And I think it really facilitates having them understand that they're part of this larger picture and really getting them excited and ready to go back to their workplace and implement all the things that they're learning.
Nice. There's a "since you've been gone" reference in there somewhere. Let me ask you about communications with this audience. How has it pushed you to be a little bit different from, you know, kind of some of the traditional communications that SHRM might have? Your audience is younger. Do you use, like, text messaging? Do you use social? Do you use Twitter to communicate to your audience? Like, how are you different from maybe some of your cohorts in terms of your communication style or mediums, if you will?
Well, my mom always said I was different, so being different is not hard. But definitely social media is a big, big way that I am communicating. We are doing a lot on Twitter, and I do kind of have two different audiences. When I communicate with the young professionals and when I communicate with the students, even those two groups are different. So I do a lot on Twitter for the students, but as far as the young professionals, it's more a LinkedIn group that we have and Facebook for them. So even you can see a little split in the preferences, even in that small, you know, divide of age, that they have different needs. There is a lot of, you know, I haven't done the texting so much yet just because I think there's some rules and regulations about mass texting with our organization. And, you know, of course, we do a lot of electronic, you know, mail and things like that. But really, this group is definitely a social media group. That's no way around it. That's how we have to communicate with them. So we're looking at doing some Google Hangouts and things like that soon, but waiting on Curtis to help me with that technological piece. He's the guru at our organization.
For sure on that. Everybody, we're listening to Drive Through HR. We Brian and William, we're on with Tara Fournier and having a lovely conversation about especially young professionals. Huge fan. I think everybody probably knows by now because I've said it so many times. So I just wanted to make sure we actually talk about the call for volunteers for the student competition in Austin. So and just share a little bit about kind of what that looks like, and just to make sure that if people are in Austin, want to go to Austin, have an interest, that we don't forget about that because we get rushed at the end of the show. So.
Perfect. Well, we actually have 5 regional student conferences. Austin is one of 5 locations. We are going to be in Alexandria on March 8th and 9th, in Delaware, March 15th and 16th at the University of Delaware. We will be in Ames, Iowa, March 22nd, 23rd, in beautiful Las Vegas, and April 12th and 13th, and we're rounding out in Austin, April 19th and 20th. We have great programming coming. We've got anywhere from Mr. Curtis Midkiff to Cy Wakeman. We have Talent Anarchy lined up and some other great, great presenters that are going to be coming and just really educating the students. But we also have a case competition. This is where the students have a 4-hour time period to review a realistic scenario about a company and an HR problem that they're having. And they collaborate with their team and come up with a 15-minute oral presentation and a written summary. And they present that to a panel of esteemed HR professionals that are certified. So we are looking for volunteers across the country to come and help us with judging these case competitions. And we're also doing a career development mentoring piece where we need some HR professionals, certified or not, to help with reviewing resumes and giving some tips on interviews and making sure that the students are prepped for getting those internships and those HR jobs. So if you are interested, you could go to SHRM's website, so SHRM.org/conferences, and you can register for a volunteer online there at the conference of your choice.
Genius. Real quickly, you said something fascinating just a second ago about the difference between young professionals and students. If you don't mind, let's go back to that because
okay.
I haven't given that a whole lot of thought. But why do you think that is? I mean, when one graduates, maybe they're in their first 7 years of their career. What's from your perspective? What's noticeably different about them?
In respect to their communication style or in respect
just,
to...
Just in general.
Overall?
Yeah.
In general, I would say that once they graduate, they want to be part of the professional community. So there is a sense of separation. Whatever they did as a student, if that was their Twitter account was a student account, they want to move on and be seen as a professional. So I don't know why, but it's a trend that I'm seeing. That the young professionals are trying to, I guess, reinvent themselves and be taken seriously. They are ready to be in the professional world and want to be a part of it. Students are, very interested in engaging and want to have conversation also, but it's a different level, I guess. I don't know exactly how to define it, but there's definitely a distinct difference and something that we're studying here at SHRM to find out what's the best way to engage these groups and encourage the students to continue on as young professionals in our organization. So it's an anomaly that we've discovered that we're trying to look a little deeper into. But if you have any insiders,
I'm gonna think about it actually. What's the utilization like? What do they need when you're a student? They need access to the website. They need access to certain things. Like, what are they consuming? If you were just to kind of look down at consumption of students versus consumption of young professionals, what do they consume?
Well, the students are really, really focused on their chapter life, the ones that are very engaged that we see. So we see a lot of activity related to their merit award program and trying to get information about internships and information, about maybe a research project that they're doing. So I'm seeing a lot of that type of movement in the student side of things. Young professionals, I think, are looking more for networking. They're looking to connect. Also, we see them, going for the toolkits and the resources. Maybe they're doing an interview and they want to download interview questions, or they need to, talk to the knowledge center to have a question answered that maybe they are too shy to tell their boss that they don't know the answer to. So they do definitely utilize them in different ways. Students are more trying to get themselves situated, and the young professional is using it more as a research resource, I think.
I want to ask about the concept of a day in the life, and also want to gain insight into a day in the life of your actual life. But the concept of a day in a life is where organizations will bring somebody in that they're really kind of further along in the interview process, either for internship or job, and they go behind the veil a little bit, and here's work. The good part, the bad part, sometimes really tactical, sometimes you're making copies and doing whatever. Like, here's the day in the life, the true day in the life, not sexing it up, not jazzing it up, churching it up. Here's the day in the life. What do you think about that concept, A? And then part B is, take us into a day of your life. What's an average day for you look like?
Okay. I think a day in the life is a fantastic way to show somebody what work is like. I think it really helps to know going into a position what you're getting yourself into, and like you said, not making it sexy or idealizing, oh, I'm going to do this wonderful thing, because sometimes there is some grunt work involved and you are making copies, and some days you're doing glamorous things, kind of like my world, really. And I think it's a great idea to do a job preview day, just because I also think it helps reduce turnover. You see, somebody will get a full picture of what's happening, and if they are bought into it, they're going to come and they're going to work hard. And if they don't know what it's like, they come get a job and they don't understand, you may get some turnover. But a day in my life, I don't know if any 2 days are quite the same. I usually am either on an airplane or traveling to the good people in HR, or I am, you know, working behind the scenes at SHRM headquarters, working on, you know, strategies and initiatives that will really help gain some insight onto engagement of these groups of young professional and students. I spend a lot of time gearing up for all of our student conferences. I'm a one-man team right now, so I guess I should set a plug that I am hiring for some help in the student programs in young professional arena. So if you know of anybody that would be interested, I would appreciate that. And it will be posted soon on the SHRM site. But also, I have a unique life in that I do live on both coasts. I live in D.C., and I also live in Southern California. So I do spend a lot of time in between the two. Quite an interesting world. I'm a virtual person.
You are way virtual, to say the least. So
yes.
You're in Phoenix at the Leadership Summit?
I am. I am in now sunny, which was snowing, Phoenix, Arizona. And we do have the Regional Council Summit. It's going to be kicking off here in about an hour. We've got Hank Jackson here and a whole bunch of SHRM leaders here to share with the wonderful volunteers. And we're really excited to have some really engaged people and teach them all the tricks of the trade.
Well, that will be, yep, I've heard, have been seeing a little bit on the Twitter stream about it, and chatted with a couple people. We've got, we have Jeff Owens and Lindsay Nelson from Oklahoma SHRM representing, our director-elect out there. So if you get a chance, say hi, because I know you're going to be out and about. What do you think that people take away the most from conferences like that?
With the volunteer leaders, they're really going to take away some ideas and some concepts that they can take back to their states to implement and really engage the chapters that they have and engage the members that they have and really learn how to do the business of running a SHRM chapter and how to really make things engaging. That's what I think. The theme of the summit is engage, inspire, and lead, and we hope to do all three of those things this weekend. So,
well, I know the one thing that I've been to going to those for several years, and the one thing that just always sticks more than anything are the people that I'm able to spend time with and meet there. Mm-hmm. I'm able to then reach out to. So there's some things that, I mean, you got so much content coming at you that you pick and choose like some of your best ideas to take back and share, and they might get implemented, they might not. But at the end of the day, it's great to have kind of grow that network of volunteer leaders over time, because it just, those are the things that, those relationships stay, right? Way past when you go off the board or you have a different role or you transition up, you know. So that's, I really, really appreciate, just SHRM making the investment and doing that and doing it right. It really does make a difference just from a volunteer leader. So some feedback.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate our volunteer leaders so much. They do a lot for us, and we know it's their unpaid jobs, and we ask a lot of them, so we're always really appreciative of any efforts that they do on behalf of the organization. So, you know, a shout-out to all of the volunteer leaders that I really thank you for your efforts out there, and keep on fighting the good fight. We really appreciate you very much.
Well, that is awesome. Tara, we told you 30 minutes would go fast, and we're done. We got about 45 seconds left. So where can what's the two things real quick? Where can people connect with you, and what's the next big thing that people need to focus on? You got 30 seconds.
Okay. I can be reached on Twitter. It's at SHRM Tara, T-A-R-A, or you can catch me on an email at tara.fournier@shrm.org. And really, you guys can catch me at those student conferences. We're really focused on that and hope that we can see some of you there. If not, I will be at annual, so we'll see you then.
Perfect. wonderful discussion. Make sure you have a great time in Phoenix. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. We are out of here.
Thank you.